Donc, je vous souhaite bonne journée, bonne soirée et à bientôt.
Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id. and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From Indonesia to the world. Listener, here is highlight of the week, presenting you what is happening in Indonesia this week with me, Steve. You can listen to this on voanews.id, RRI Digital, and the frequencies 3325 kHz and also 4755 kHz. Here are the top stories. Pope Leo XIV brings new hope for Catholics. Standing Committee on Palestine agrees on pursuing two-state solution for Palestine independence. And here is highlight of the week. Pope Leo XIV is set to bring new hope for Catholics. For detail by Ranov.
The recent election of Pope Leo XIV has sparked optimism among Catholics worldwide. Speaking on VOI Talk, Voice of Indonesian special program on Monday, Deputy Secretary of the Indonesian Cathedral Archdiocese Thomas Ulun Ismoyo said the Pope's first speech highlighted themes of peace, justice, and the unity values that align closely with the legacy of Pope Francis.
Regarding about peace and also social justice, and secondly, he also mentioned about several topics or several words that really Pope Francis' theme during his leadership era, which is dialogue, encounter, and synodality or working together. So from his first speech after he was elected as a Pope, I do believe, and many Catholics believe, that Pope Leo XIV will, to some extent, follow the footstep and the legacy of Pope Francis.
Thomas added that Pope Leo XIV's rise was unexpected as he was appointed cardinal only 2 years ago. However, his Augustinian background and humble spirit have inspired hope that he will lead the Church with openness, compassion, and a strong commitment to inclusivity and dialogue in today's evolving world.
Indonesia supports clinical trial of M72 tuberculosis vaccine. Full detail by Ofra.
The Indonesian government through the Ministry of Health is fully backing the development of the M72 tuberculosis vaccine, which is now in its third phase of clinical trials. The Director General of Pharmaceuticals and Medical Devices, Lucia Rizka Andalusia, said on Monday that Indonesia's participation brings multiple benefits. This includes faster access to the vaccine and better alignment with the strains of tuberculosis circulating in the country. One of the advantages of participating in clinical trials is faster access to vaccines. Also, the vaccines and medicine we get are tailored to the strains found in our population. This also helps our researchers and pharmaceutical industry gain the capacity to produce vaccines locally. Lucia added that the clinical trials will monitor the vaccine safety and effectiveness to ensure it is safe for public use. She also emphasized that Indonesia's involvement is part of global collaboration and is not funded by the Gates Foundation. The trials planning began in 2022, and the foundation's support is part of its long-standing commitment to vaccine development in developing countries, including Indonesia.
Indonesia's Minister of Religious Affairs, Nasaruddin Umar, extended greetings for Waisak Day 2569 Buddhist era to all Buddhists in the country on Monday. Through a video message shared via the ministry's official channels, he emphasized the universal value of Waisak or Vesak in promoting virtue and wisdom.
Hari Waisak adalah momen suci.
Vesak Day is a sacred moment to commemorate three major events in the life of Gautama Buddha. It also serves as a universal inspiration to instill virtue, self-control, and wisdom in daily life.
Di dalam kehidupan sehari-hari.
The minister also highlighted this year's Waisak theme or Vesak theme, which calls on the people to uphold peace through mutual respect and self-awareness. He also praised the series of activities, including spiritual pilgrimages, social services, and interfaith collaboration efforts. The peak celebration of Vesak Day took place at Borobudur Temple, Central Java, with a traditional walking procession and a symbolic release of 2,569 lanterns expressing prayers and hopes for peace in the world. You're listening to Highlight of the Week by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The 53rd session of the Standing Committee on Palestine was held on Monday in Jakarta as part of the 19th Conference on the Parliamentary Union of OIC Member States or PUIC. The committee session agreed to realize the two-state solution for Palestine's independence. Andy Romdoni has the detail.
The 53rd session of the Standing Committee on Palestine Monday in Jakarta agreed to promote the two-state solution as the main requirement for realizing Palestine's independence. Chairman of the Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Agency of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Mardani Alisera, said that the results of the committee session would be submitted to the 19th Conference of the Parliamentary Union of OIC Member States, or PUIC, as the basis for a resolution to realize Palestine's independence.
Setelah ini kita akan bikin tim kecil yang
we will form a small team to summarize all the ideas and concepts and put them into conclusions that we will bring to the Standing Committee of PUIC. What makes me happy is that everyone agrees that the two-state solution for Palestinian independence is an inevitability that we must realize immediately. And thank God Indonesia is highly appreciated for conveying and being among the forefront in fighting for Palestinian independence. Furthermore, Mardani Alisera also underlined the importance of rejecting Israel and all entities that support Israel's genocide in Palestine. First, don't open diplomatic relations with Israel, because if we open diplomatic relations, it will be Israel's victory. Second, boycott not only Israeli products, but also products from countries that help Israel commit genocide. The 53rd session of the Standing Committee on Palestine is part of the 19th Conference of the Parliamentary Union of the OIC Member States, or PUIC. A number of things that are the focus of the committee session meeting are the current conditions in Palestine and humanitarian calls, development in the situation of Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the burden on neighboring Palestinian countries that have occurred due to Israeli aggressions against Palestine.
Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs calls on Buddhists to reflect on the compassionate and selfless life of Siddhartha Gautama during the peak celebration of Vesak 2025 at Borobudur Temple. Ofra has the details.
Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Nasruddin Umar called on Buddhists to follow the spiritual example of Siddhartha Gautama, whose life was marked by compassion, courage, and self-sacrifice for humanity. This message was delivered during his speech at the peak celebration of Vesak 2025 at Borobudur Temple, Central Java on Monday. The minister emphasized that contemplation is the core of Vesak observance. He explained the difference between concentrations and contemplations.
Actually, the point of this Vesak day is how we contemplate. Contemplation is different from concentration, ladies and gentlemen. Concentration is where our mind is focused, usually to think about something outside of us. But contemplation focuses on our soul, including our mind, to contemplate what the meaning of life is.
Apa arti kehidupan ini?
On the same occasion, the minister also highlighted the importance of strengthening spiritual awareness in harmony with environmental preservations. He noted that Buddhism is among the religious traditions rich in eco-theological values, particularly in showing respect for all living beings and the entire universe.
The main theme of Vesak 2025 serves as an important reminder in a world filled with tensions. The celebration of the holy day of Vesak 2569 Buddhist era, which was centered at Borobudur Temple in Magelang, Central Java on Monday, carried the theme, increase self-control and wisdom, create world peace. Ranov has the detail.
Indonesian Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development Coordination Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono said, the theme of this year's Vesak celebration is very relevant to the current global situation, which is marked by uncertainty, conflict, and geopolitical challenges. He stated that the theme offers an important reflection for all parts of the nation, including Indonesia, to maintain stability and strengthen harmony.
Ini adalah tema yang sangat penting. Ketika dunia kita saat ini juga terus mengalami dinamika yang
This is very important theme as our world today continues to experience dynamics that are often full of surprises, uncertainties, geopolitical tensions, even open conflicts and wars in many regions. The Asia Pacific, including Southeast Asia and Indonesia, must always be ready to face these global dynamics geopolitically, economically, and in terms of security.
Indonesia di dalamnya juga harus terus memiliki kesiapan untuk menghadapi dinamika dunia tersebut, baik secara geopolitik, ekonomi, maupun keamanan.
Agus Harimurti also emphasized that the spirit of Vesak should be a moral force for the nation in maintaining peace and building a better future. According to him, national development can only succeed if it's supported by a peaceful, safe, and united society that embraces diversity.
Indonesia is making a major push to strengthen its rural economies with a huge fund distribution. Dora Pardede has the detail.
The State Bank Association of Indonesia, or Himbara, will be distributing 250 trillion rupiah, around $15.8 billion, to villages this year through village cooperatives. The goal is to help boost the local economies in rural areas. The Coordinating Minister for Food Affairs, Zulkifli Hasan, shared the news at the Islamic Community Unity Congress in Jakarta on Tuesday.
We need to build the village economy so that villages can grow independently and creatively.
The minister went on to explain that the government is setting up this cooperative across the country to streamline the supply chain for basic goods. By doing this, they aim to cut out middlemen and stop the damaging effects of online loans in rural areas, giving villagers more control over their economic future. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia is scaling up its free nutritious meal program by training people who will run public kitchens across the country. Reports by Dora Pardede.
The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, known locally as KADIN, launched a new office to support the country's Free Nutritious Meals Task Force in Jakarta on Tuesday. KADIN Chairman Anindya Bakri said the new consultation and assistance center will offer training and certification for public kitchen managers who will be responsible for preparing and distributing meals through what's called Nutrition Fulfillment Service Unit or SPPG in Indonesian.
Dan ini bakal mulai
training actually starts tomorrow. The idea is to make sure that anyone who wants to set up a kitchen under this program can get certified.
Itu bisa mendapat sertifikasi.
With the government allocating over 170 trillion rupiah, around $10 billion, to the program, and India stress the need for everything to be done professionally and transparently. The goal is to launch 1,000 public kitchens across the country. As a first step, 6 pilot kitchens will be rolled out and are expected to be up and running before Indonesia's Independence Day on August 17. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Creative economy seen as key to preventing layoffs in Indonesia. Andy Romdoni has the detail.
Indonesia is being urged to focus on the creative economy to help prevent job losses that could result from changes in the U.S. trade policy. Speaking on the Voitalk program with NRA Voice of Indonesia, researcher from National Research and Innovation Agency, Nawawi, on Wednesday said the government's upcoming layoff task force should work with companies and workers to find solutions beyond layoffs.
The layoff task force, of course, should working with the industry how to at least not to take the layoff as the first priority, because you know what, because we also need a job for our workers. That's why there should be a mitigation how to deal with this. One of them, I think, the government also should support the development of the creative industry dealing with the digital economy and so on, because now I think this is one of the new sector that promising to our economy and can also be alternative for those who have been laid off to start to get jobs or to start business and to change their mindset, not looking for job but how to create the jobs.
He added that Indonesia has strong potential in this sector and that it could also support small and medium-sized businesses, which helped the economy stay afloat during the COVID-19 pandemic. Nawawi also said the task force should focus on improving worker skills, especially in the informal sector, so that more Indonesians can find better jobs and income.
You're listening to Highlight of the Week by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian UNICEF launched digital cold chain training module to strengthen vaccination efforts. More detail by Ofra.
The Indonesian government through the Ministry of Health has officially launched the digital cold chain immunization training module. This is part of the country's continued efforts to protect every child from vaccine-preventable diseases. Andre Tulisov, team leader at UNICEF Indonesia, highlighted the importance of this initiative, calling it a major step forward in strengthening Indonesia's vaccination services.
UNICEF Indonesia supports the development of digital module on cold chain and vaccine management to equip thousands of healthcare workers across Indonesia from national to Puskesmas level with updated knowledge and practical skills to ensure vaccine potency and timely delivery to each the eligible children. The innovation of MOOCC embodies the Ministry of Health and UNICEF commitment to equity and capacity building, accessible 24/7 from all locations across the country, self-paced and aligned with national guidelines.
Police have also praised the collaborations behind the initiative, which involve government partners, universities, and development agencies. He stressed that continued innovations and teamwork are key to building a stronger, more resilient health system in Indonesia.
National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRAIN, highlights data science as key to strengthening Indonesia's disease response. Full detail by Ofra.
Indonesia's National Research and Innovation Agency, known as BRAIN, is highlighting the vital role of data science in enhancing the country's ability to monitor and respond to infectious disease outbreaks. Speaking during a webinar titled Digital Epidemiology, Transforming Health Studies Through Data Science on Wednesday, the head of BRAIN's Research Center for Data and Information Science, Esa Prakasa, said that big data and digital modeling are revolutionizing epidemiology in Indonesia.
In the era of big data and digital transformation, data science has enormous potential, particularly in epidemiological research. By using spatial and temporal modeling and identifying risk factors, we can predict and detect disease outbreaks earlier, allowing for better decision-making at the national level.
ESA also stressed the need to combine data from many sources to speed up disease response. This helps health authorities act faster and more effectively to protect public health.
Indonesia adjusts Chinese investment in medical equipment and highlights local content rule. More detailed by Rano.
Indonesia is calling for increased Chinese investment in its healthcare sector, particularly in medical equipment and biomedical technology. Speaking on Wednesday, the Indonesian ambassador to China and Mongolia, Jauhari Oratmangun, said there are still many untapped opportunities in the country's health infrastructure.
There are still many opportunities in the health infrastructure sector, especially in medical equipment or medical devices. Specifically with China, their medical devices enter in large numbers, but we always emphasize the need for 40% local content and local partners.
Indonesia currently spends just around $115 per person on healthcare each year, well below regional neighbors like Malaysia and Singapore. Jauhari said this gap represents a major opportunity for foreign investors. He also stressed that any foreign investment should come with technology transfer and partnership with local companies, a strategy aimed at boosting Indonesian domestic medical industry and improving long-term healthcare spending.
And listener, that's Highlight of the Week.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Come stop the crying, it'll be alright. Just take my hand, hold it tight. I will protect you from all around you. I will be here, don't you cry. For once so small, you seem so strong. My arms will hold you, keep you safe and warm. This bond between us can't be broken. I will be here, don't you cry. 'Cause you'll be in my heart. Yes, you'll be in my heart. From this day on, now and forevermore. Yes, you'll be in my heart. No matter what they say, you'll be here in my heart. Always. Why can't they understand the way we feel? They just don't trust what they can't explain. I know we're different, but deep inside us, we're not that different at all.
Now, listener, here is the VOI talk about facing the risk of layoffs due to the U.S. tariff policies with Nawawi, the head of the Population Research Center of National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRAIN.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners and viewers, today's VOI talk addresses issue on unemployment, which is a crucial issue that the Indonesian government has tried to tackle through a number of initiatives since 2024. And according to Statistics Agency, or BPS, the number of unemployed in the working age group stood at 7.47 million in August 2024, a decline of 390,000 compared to the previous year. Thus, the open unemployment rate fell from 5.32% in August 2023 to 4.91% in August 2024. So how's this unemployment rate keep steady following the U.S. tariff policies, which is we are facing now? To know more about it on today's VOI Talk, facing the risk of layoffs due to U.S. tariff policies, joining us today, the head of the Population Research Center of the Indonesian National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIN, Bapak Nawawi. Good morning, Pak Nawawi. Thank you so much for joining us on VOI Talk.
Good morning, VOA Talks.
Thank you. And like I mentioned before about the latest report from the Statistics Indonesia, that Indonesia's unemployment rate in 2025 was recorded at 4.76%. And this figure is down from the previous year, which is 4.91%. So how do you see this decrease, and why do you think this number could decrease?
Actually, this is a good news, because if you look at the data, it is the lowest number of open unemployment since the COVID-19 about 3 years ago. But we have to be careful with looking this data, because if we talk about the open unemployment, it means that this include those who are underemployed. But the underemployed workers also increase. So it means the quality of our labor force absorption in the labor market also should be questioned, because, for example, if you look also by sector, most of them absorbed in the labor market also mostly in the informal sector, which is, you know, that informal sector always have a low income, no job security, even no social protection, and so on. So I mean, besides the number decrease, but we should also look at the quality of this figure as well.
And what about the government's policy that affecting this decreasing number?
Actually, when we talk about the unemployment, means that this is the the problem that we are always facing, especially if we look at the economic condition at the moment, where, as you mentioned before, that soon the U.S. tariff will be affect our economy, and of course in the near future this also affect our labor markets. I can predict that the number of unemployment will be increased at least in the second or the third quarter of 2025. So we should be aware about this impact, especially because most of our export to U.S. mostly in the labor-intensive sector, right, such as in the textile, garment, and footwear industry, which is also become the backbone of our economy at the moment. So if you can imagine, if the tariff implemented soon, the effect will be also very serious in our economy, and the layoff may be one of the issues that we have to aware about this.
So do you think the government's previous policy can be also implemented to decrease the unemployment rate following the U.S. tariff policies?
Yeah, I heard that the government soon will establish like a layoff tax, right? This is I think a good idea to adjust something that will affect our labor market. But we should also be aware that the lay off tax is a good sign, but of course business also should be run, right? That's why the government also should look at the both sides between handling the problem issue of layoff and also how to support the business can grow in the situation soon because of the tariff, U.S. tariff.
So what do you think to make this task force become an anticipatory step against the risk of increasing layoffs due to the impact of U.S. economic policies?
Yeah, the layoff task force should also focus on how to increase the capability of our labor force to compete in the situation like this. For example, they also should look at how to give opportunity for those who are looking for job with better skills, better competency, and also how they also can, because if we look at the data of the sector, mostly we are now still dominated by informal sector, including 97% of them are small, medium business entrepreneurship. That's why the government also should look at this kind of sector that need to support them, especially give incentives so they can also run the business in the middle of condition that the economic maybe will be not easy for them. That's why the layoff task force not only working on the relation between company and the workers, but also look at the potential economy that can support those who will get the layoff, and then they can also start business and so on.
Incentives and skill increasing competence really matters. What sectors do you think will be affected the most that we have to be really aware of?
So of course the manufacturing, including the textiles and garment and footwear, because this is the labor intensive sectors and already affected by the some of the issues, such as at the beginning of this year, you can remember that the giant textile industry, Sritex, just laid off around 11,000 workers at that time, and also now some of the electronic industry also, because the effect of the tariff will also affect this kind of industry. So that's why the government should be aware about this and thinks about the alternative way how to deal with this kind of issue in the near future.
And what of one of the most suitable or on-target mitigation efforts by the industries to face this?
The layoff tax force, of course, should working with the industry how to at least not to take the layoff as the first priority, because you know what? Because we also need a job for our workers. That's why there should be a mitigation how to deal with this. One of them, I think, the government also should support the development of the creative industry dealing with the digital economy and so on, because now I think this is one of the new sector that promising to our economy and can also be alternative for those who have been laid off to start to get jobs or to start business and to change their mindset, not looking for job but how to create the jobs. That's why I think in the near future government also should think about this opportunity in the digital economy and also in the creative economy, because I think we have a big potential in this sector, and the government still have to work hard to optimize the opportunity to get benefit, to get good development on these sectors.
So it's back to the skill strengthening then. Adjust to one of them is the digital industry. And it also includes domestic market strengthening.
Yeah. Also, if you talk about the digital economy and also creative industry, it is not limited only for the local consumer, right? It is also linked to the global market. That's why it is also one of the opportunity for us to develop our economy in the creative and digital economy. It's also a good opportunity for example, like at the moment, the participation of women in the labor market still low compared to the male workers, right? So that's why this is also something that can give an opportunity for women to participate in the labor market, in the creative, and also in the digital economy. And now people looking for this kind of jobs, especially those who, I think, those who got laid off recently, they are also now looking the opportunity to create jobs by their own in the creative industry and also in the digital economy.
Yes, when it comes to job creation and then productive entrepreneurs, this is also in line with the statement that we just got today from the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN, which is pushing for the creation of employment opportunities. And layoffs can be prompted by several reasons besides this tariff policies, also economic slowdown. And how do you see this issue also can affect economic growth of Indonesia that is expected to return to above 5%?
Actually, we cannot depend on the, for example, such as the sector like textile and garments, because, you know, actually this kind of industry move from the, for example, from South Asia, from Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and go to Indonesia, and now moving to Cambodia, Vietnam, and so on. So we cannot, depend on this sector. That's why I suggest that we should look at our potentials, economic potential, such as creative industry. We have a very rich resource about this. And this is also dealing with the small, medium enterprises that we have. 90% of them absorb the labor force at the moment. That's why the government should also think about how to develop the SMES Indonesia with the creative industry, and also use the digital economy as a tools to boost our economy as well.
Okay. And what about trade tariff diplomacy to explore export opportunities, which is expected?
This is a very political issue, I think, because you know that we already sent our Minister Coordinator of Economy to deal with this kind of issue, but still the tariff still very high, 32% to 34%. That's why I think now it depends on the U.S. and China relation, because now they already have some consensus to decrease the tariff. So we do hope that we can also get this influence. I mean, once the tariff reduce, then of course we hope that tariff for Indonesia also will reduce, because this is mostly about the politics between US, China, and other countries.
Okay, and back to the job creation itself. Can the definition of work only be used in the context of wage earners, or can it be expanded in a broader context, for example, developing small businesses?
Well, I think the definition of work should be understood in a broader context, not in the small context like only wage earning employment, because because the definition of work include a diverse range of productive economy activities, including small business, self-employment, and even certain type of unpaid or informal labor. So we cannot make it a very small definition works, because works also include those who are not wage-based employment relations, such like that.
And in your view itself, how do you view the working trend in Indonesian society right now? And how can people take advantage of opportunities to still have income and minimize the impact of layoffs?
Well, this is a quite interesting fact that especially if we talk about youth generation at the moment, Gen Z and also millennium generation, they have a different perspective on how to find jobs. Our parents maybe prefer for the permanent jobs, right? But our generation, but now the Gen Z generation, they don't focus to find permanent job even because they have such as a life balance principle, right? Between works and also with the social activity and so on. That's why in the near future, there will be a change of our labor market condition and dynamics, and mass of young people, mass of our young generation, which is now at the moment constitute of more than half of our population, will work perhaps not only in the permanent job, but also looking for a bit free relation jobs such as part-time job, online job, riding hailing jobs, and so on. So that's why it is also a new dynamic of in our labor market. But should be very careful about this because flexible work also have a positive and also negative impact to workers, right? So this is also have to think about that.
Yes, and like we talk about the working trend is one of them is a freelance trend, you said. Yes. And even we also have remote working. So you think can this be a solution or will it be a boomerang? Because many companies rely on freelancers for operational work with a working system that is not really unprotected and often mediocre pay.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, freelancing and remote work can be a viable solution, especially in the current labor market because it offers low entry barrier, right? So people can start with just a skill and internet connection, and then they can start business, doing business, and also with not only in the local market, but also global market access. And also they have flexibility and autonomy. And also, of course, pay layoff income bridge, because sometimes it can be used as a bridge from layoff to start a productive and income while figuring out the next step or something. But be careful because most of these jobs usually lack of protection, especially from the social security, national security scheme like BPJS, and also no guarantee of minimum wage, no health insurance and severance, and so on. There is also issue that most of this kind of job have a low bargaining power because freelancers or online workers, they depend on the clients and also compete from the same jobs, and sometimes they have to deal with the rates downs and so on. So that's why besides the positive way of freelancing and online workers, but also there is something that we should also be aware about this, especially if we talk about the protection for job security, for protection from the social security, and so also minimum wage and so on.
So indeed, it's all about our choice, but we need to pay attention to the details about the security, right?
Yeah.
And still facing the risk of layoffs due to U.S. tariff policies, what would you like to say to all companies, businessmen, the workers to face this is still in optimism?
We still have actually possible potential economy that we can develop in our economy, such as what I say in the creative industry, And also, we can also look for the potential markets. Even in our country, we still have also our own markets. So I don't think that we should be very worried about the U.S. tariff, because, you know, economics sometimes dynamics, politics also sometimes dynamics, right? So better we talk about how to optimize our economic potential here in Indonesia, not only for the resource, but also for the markets. We have reach on the creative industry. We also have a big market for is our own market. So if we can focus on this sector, optimize the human resource and with trainings, with education and so on. So I'm sure in the future we can also have our own market and also our alternative economy, which is also offer a best good for our economic growth.
Okay, noted. So everything's dynamics, so make sure we keep optimistic amid this layoff concern. Stay optimistic and stay creating jobs, besides finding jobs maybe for those who are still finding jobs. And don't forget to pay attention to the details that we just discussed before. All right, Pak Nawawi, thank you so much for your insight about today's VOI talk, facing the risk of layoffs due to U.S. tariff policies. And like what we said before, hopefully we can keep reducing more number of unemployment in Indonesia and creating more jobs.
More job and better jobs, actually.
And better jobs. Okay. Yeah. Thank you once again, Pak Nawawi, from the National Research and Innovation Agency, from the population, head of the Population Research Center. Thank you so much for joining us on VOI Talk, and have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
Well, listener, that's today's VOI Talk. And stay tuned for more inspiring talks from Voice of Indonesia. With me, Rahma, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia. VOI.
Today's sound.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Never every day, and the sun keeps shining through.
okay to not be okay. Ooh, you can call me anyway. You just had a bad day, doesn't happen every day. Sun keeps shining through. If you say it's okay to not be okay,
in remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
What can we do differently? Are we really never meant to be? When you kissed me slowly, did we cross the line? Can't the world just let us be?
Thank you very much for listening to our broadcast. Please leave some comments and questions to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, at RE Digital Mobile App, and the social media, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, TikTok, VOI_official. You can also listen to other talks at The Voice of Indonesia on our YouTube channel, VOI Official. And of course, listener, you can still listen to us on voinews.id, the application RRE Digital, and the frequencies 3325 kHz and also 4755 kHz. I'm Steve. Thank you very much for joining. And make sure to stay tuned at us at The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Teach me how to.